Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of Near. This is a way for you to support the great work of Near Media Co-op, which we here at Near think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
Now, approximately in Ireland, 500 babies die around the time of birth. As a result, a large number of parents, brothers and sisters, grandparents and friends are bereaved. And this morning on the line, I have Mary McGrath from A Little Lifetime Foundation. Good morning to you, Mary, and you're very welcome to Lifeline.
Not at all. Thank you for having me on.
Now, Mary, tell us a little bit about the organisation A Little Lifetime.
A Little Lifetime Foundation was originally, people might know it originally as the Irish Deaf Society. It was set up in 1983, so we're a long time going. And it was set up really in response to the fact that there was no support out there for babies for parents whose babies died before or during or after, immediately after birth. Mm. And those parents were very isolated. There was no, social media. There was no internet. People didn't even have landlines in their houses at that stage in a lot of instances. So a group of parents came together to provide a support framework for parents for meetings and so on and creative workshops to come together, because there was no forum to talk. There was a message at the time from the hospitals, from society, was go home and have another one. Yeah. There was no space in your life to talk about the baby that died, to honour your baby. So the charity was set up with that principle in mind, that we're going to support parents, we're going to come in immediately at the time of loss and support them, but we're also going to support them in an ongoing way for the challenges that come down the line. For example, some baby parents would find it very challenging if they're pregnant with another baby. That can be very stressful. Parents can find it very challenging when their child who died should be about to start school. That will be coming up for a lot of parents this September, for example. So we're there immediately at the time of birth and down the line as well. We also had a role, and we still have a role, in lobbying on behalf of parents. So, for example, when the charity was set up in 1983, it's quite shocking to think about it now, but there was no entitlement to a birth certificate for a baby who died at birth, a baby who was stillborn, and the charity campaigned for that. So now you have a right to register a baby born after 24 weeks and weighing more than 500 grams, which is not every baby, unfortunately, but you can have a birth certificate for that baby. And so there's a lot, all of that framework has been put in place by the charity.
It's shocking to think, Mary, that, young people been talking about that many years ago, but how mothers and fathers were treated years ago with the loss of a baby. I know my own mother lost three babies at the time. They lived for about a week or two, and like that, it was sure you have another two at home and you can go and have another one. It was shocking the way they were treated.
The attitude at the time was very much easy come, easy go. You have another one. And actually the idea that baby was utterly special and unique to you, and that is a relationship that you now won't have to have, and that has to be acknowledged, and you have to be supported in that loss. That didn't dawn on anybody, really. There were individual hospital staff who would have been supported, but there was no culture in the hospitals of supporting that loss, whereas now that's very much changed because of the work, including the work of charity like ours. But it is actually heartbreaking when we hear, I'm relatively newly bereaved, 2007, place for me by the pioneers, really, who started the charity back in 1983, what they had to put up with in order to put that charity in place to support me is really quite inspiring, and that's one of our roles now, is to try and connect with those parents. A lot of parents, their babies came home, the babies are taken away, they don't know where their babies are buried. So part of our work is to help them find their babies, if we can at all.
Oh, really?
And because a lot of the grief was just parked, and so sometimes actually finding your baby's grave allows you, create space for you to grieve for the first time. So that's part of our work as well, supporting those parents from a long time ago.
That's great that you're doing that. And the death of a baby is a huge tragedy, for somebody to have to go through that and to be told, you can have another one, or you have a baby at home. It must have been terrible. Exactly. But as you said, today at least there's help out there, and it's great you're helping people who haven't had, probably don't know where the babies are buried.
Not at all, no. It's still not. And actually, what's even sad, sometimes the parents themselves have passed away, and it's the siblings that go and find, because the parents didn't have the courage, they didn't know how to go about it. And it's actually siblings now coming forward trying to find their brother or their sister who they know that mammy had a baby in 19 whatever, and they think the baby was buried in Glasnevin, and could we help them, you know? So it is lovely to help those families put pieces of the puzzle up, the whole of their family, because that's a brother or sister to them as well, just as important as their living brothers and sisters. So it's very, very important work that we're doing there with those parents and those siblings.
Mary, could you help people through your organisation to find where siblings are buried?
Our absolute best, yes.
And would you have to have a number or anything like that, or just a name? You know, the way a registration number or something like that?
Well, they wouldn't know. You'd be surprised how little information we can work with. There's a lot of records out there, but they're not complete. But we'll always do our absolute best for people. Yeah. But you'd be surprised the little slivers of information that we have one or two volunteers in the charity, and they just have a talent for it, and they're really, really dedicated. And you'd be surprised how little information that they can work on to find where a baby's buried.
Yeah. Mm. And as you said, it's all the milestones throughout life that you think back to my child should be doing this, like doing exams, like, as the leaving cert is going on now.
Exactly.
You know,
right,
little things.
At this moment, right at this moment, there are parents whose child should be sitting the junior cert, should be sitting the leaving cert, and is not. And they are sad right now. And then in August, when the leaving cert results come out, they'll be sad. And when the junior cert results come out in September, and, you know, the child, let's walk us through now, the child who should be sitting their leaving cert at the moment, that parent is heartbroken. Then the results will come out on Wednesday in August. The results come out, that parent will be heartbroken. Then there'll be the CAO office. Then there'll be a Debs. And then there'll be all those cousins and friends that their child isn't with, going off to college or going off to Australia. So there's a sadness there of what your child is not getting to experience. And it can be, and parents, and you intellectually you say to them, but that parent's years down the line, but that is still a huge sadness in that parent's life. The grief for the loss of a baby is a really evolving grief. It's the grief that you have when your child is just newly lost. It's so acute and it's so sad, and those parents are so broken. But it's an evolving, you know, you don't stay in that stage your whole life, but you will need to be supported at these difficult milestones as well. And we do that just as well as we do the support for the newly bereaved parents.
Yeah. And I suppose the first time, like any grief or any death, the first Christmas, the first birthday, everything, that must be the hardest time to go through for any grief, but especially the loss of a child or a baby. So you're there to help people get through this.
Exactly.
And I don't suppose you'll ever get over the loss of a child. You just learn to live with it.
You do. And you know what happens? I suppose you do learn to live with it, and you learn to anticipate things that upset you. But also what happens is that you realise, and one of the messages of our parent support meetings is that actually the real gut-wrenching sadness, it's not actually the true reflection of your child's life. Because if your child were here, your child would be bringing joy to your heart. So what we try to, the message we give to parents of charity is, let the joy back into your heart. So we do a lot of creative workshops. We help parents, we make ceramics and flowers, we do Easter flowers and Christmas flowers. We're doing a pebble workshop, pebble art on Saturday in our centre in Blanchardstown. We do all of these workshops to demonstrate to parents it's okay to have joy and happiness in your heart again. And it does return, but somebody has to say it to you. It's okay to be happy. Do you know what I mean? I remember a few weeks after my own son died, I was watching something on television, something funny, and I laughed out loud. I think it was about 6 weeks down the line, and I laughed out loud, and then I stopped and went, oh my God, that's so inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it was like I wasn't allowed to be happy, but actually that really isn't the healthy state to stay in. And the healthier state is when the grief is nestled in your life side by side with the joy and happiness of your life. And so that's very much our message to parents, that you don't need to stay wretchedly sad to love your child and to remember your child.
Exactly. Tell us a little bit about the booklet that you distribute to the hospitals, A Little Lifetime.
Yeah, well, it's our new packet going out to the hospitals now. It's very important for parents. They don't know what they don't know. So they don't know, they may have an instinct but not know it's correct. They may not know that it's a natural thing to take a photograph of your child. So we're prompting all of this discussion in the mind of the parents, so we have information on making memories with your child, because you have such a short period with them between when they're delivered, even if they live for a while, there's a very short time between when they're delivered and when they're buried. So you have to extract all the possible memories from that moment. So we would tell people about how to support their, how to make those memories, how to support other children in the family. We have information for grandparents. We have some information about how to go about organising a funeral. It's very much in tandem with what the hospitals are doing. So the hospitals would give this to parents to help them to make the hospital. Nobody wants to make the decision for you, but it's to put out all the options in front of you so that you can look back and go, I had a short little time with my baby, but in that time I did everything I could possibly have done to extract love and meaning from that experience, you know. And it's so healing down the line when people, you know, they it's so, I mean, organizing a funeral for a child, there isn't anything more awful that you'll do in your life. But there is a period afterwards where you go, I did everything I could. I made it beautiful. I made it special. I made it personal. It was exactly a reflection of my child's wonderful short life. And I'm proud that I did it. So we're trying to help people to get to that point.
And do you have, like, Mary, like, I suppose mothers meeting up with other, well, parents meeting up with other parents in a group, like, to talk about, because they exactly, well, they know exactly what you're going through, where other people might not. Some people think there's a time frame on grief, and, well, it's about time, you should be over that now. You know what I mean? Like, they don't understand unless they've gone through it.
Exactly. That message, what you're describing there, oh, shouldn't she be better now? Yeah. Shouldn't he be over this by now? That comes along very quickly. So our support meetings, we have a closed group meeting, as we call it, just for newly bereaved parents. So they, you know, within literally days or weeks, parents can come to a meeting and just sit with other bereaved parents. And it's very normalizing, because you realize I'm not some unique freak who can't cope. This is normal and natural. The fact that I'm not sleeping, the fact that I'm not eating, the fact that I have no energy, the fact that I'm crying all the time, but I'm struggling to go down to the shops and buy a pint of milk without crying, this is normal. And so that's very, very important, that you're not some uniquely ill-equipped freak. You are a normal, natural mother, father, grieving for a child. And then we have our general parent support meeting for parents who are newly bereaved parents further down the line. And that's lovely as well, because for a newly bereaved parent to see someone 2 or 3 years down the line who's still sad but not vulnerable and broken, that's very important. And the parents who are down the line, they're so full of advice and encouragement for the newly bereaved parents. It's really lovely to see them, you know, just being so helpful and so supportive. But as you say, you have to come together with other parents, other mothers, other fathers, because around you people will want you to get to be normal. They'll want you to get back in the saddle to be normal. And because they, you know, your grief is making them uncomfortable, so they want you to keep it away from them.
Yeah.
So our meetings are very important for that.
And it's not only the parents and that. I mean, grandparents play a big part in it as well. They're so looking forward to their grandchildren, aunts, you know, uncles. So are you there for everybody, or is it specifically just for the parents?
Yeah. Well, we try and support a lot of grandparents. The thing with the grandparents is that the grandparents really suffer two losses, because there's the loss of their grandchild they were looking forward to, and then there's the grief that they have for their own child has suffered and they can't fix it. Because you do anything to fix your child, you go in and you put your own heart into their chest. Exactly. But your child is broken and you can't fix that, so it's a double grief for them, and it's very hard. We don't at the moment have a specific meeting for grandparents, but it's something that we're trying to develop. But we do encourage the grandparents to come to our Christmas services. We have services in St. Nicholas Church, and we have 2 services a year in Glasnevin. And it's lovely, because sometimes they want to, we have members of our parent support team there, and we're all trained to support parents. And sometimes the grandparents will come up to us and say, I'm very worried about my daughter, and they'll want to talk about it themselves, and but they don't want to upset their daughter. So it's good for those parents to talk about their own grief and how it affects them, because they can get tied up with supporting the son or daughter who's been bereaved and not support their own needs.
True. Mary, so the Little Lifetime Foundation, how do you keep going? Are you giving funding from the government, or is it through fundraising?
We get, and we are very grateful for a small grant from Poofla, Child and Family Protection Agency, and we're very, very grateful for it. And then we everything else is provided for by fundraising, and we have fantastic parents. We had 70 parents did the mini marathon for us a week or two ago, and we were thrilled to have that. And we have parents doing table quizzes and the Dublin Marathon, and I did, not to brag, I did a Father Ted table quiz last
year. Well done. Very good.
And so we have great fundraisers out there all the time, and people are very, we're always looking for more, but people are very, very good to us. And you know, it's so, it's a bereaved parent, they get so little in our society, they're so grateful, and it's in a way you shouldn't be like that, but it's very humbling to see how much parents give back, because they don't want parents to go through what they did and what they got from us. They want it to be available to other parents. They really are paying it forward for other newly bereaved parents. So it's lovely to see. Yeah, it's lovely to see the fundraising coming in.
That's great. Okay, well, listen, Mary, keep up the great work you're doing there. If anyone wants to get in touch with you, can you give out the contact details?
Yeah, sure. It's anything is available at www.alittlelifetime.ie. Could I just say one last thing before you go? And that is that this Sunday coming is Father's Day, and fathers, bereaved fathers, do not get a look in. You think bereaved mothers aren't supported, bereaved fathers are a neglected group in our society. The dad is very much the person who supports mammy. Do you know what I mean? Like, the mom is sad and the dad looks after her, and he has to be brave and he has to keep showing the road. So I would just say to your listeners, if you know a bereaved dad whose child passed away at any stage, remember them on Sunday for Father's Day, because they really will appreciate it.
Oh, that's that is so true. Well, listen, Mary, thanks a million. And if any information people want to find out about it, to go on to www.alittlelifetime.ie, and there's all the information is on your web
address.
And if there's any other fundraising events coming up that you want to get out there, do get in contact with us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, Mary, thanks a million. Bye bye.
Thank you too. Bye bye. Bye.